Welcome back to Chasing Dramas. This is the podcast that discusses Chinese culture and history through historical Chinese dramas. We are your hosts, Karen
and Kathy.
Today, we are discussing episode 43 of the Tang Dynasty drama, The Longest Day in Chang'an. As always, this podcast is in English with proper nouns and certain phrases spoken in Mandarin Chinese. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram or else email us at KarenandKathy@chasingdramas.com. For today's episode, we will start with a drama episode recap and then conclude with some history portrayed in the episode. In episode 42, it was an explosive episode. Xiao Gui confronted the emperor, Zhang Xiaojing tried to reduce the firepower of the Lantern Tower exploded, Xiao Gui kidnaps the emperor, Zhang Xiaojing meets up with Xiao Gui, and they're on their way to escape with a quote-unquote kidnapped Tan Qi in tow, pretending to be Yan Yuhuan. Phew, that was a recap that we technically could have done for our last podcast episode, and that would have been under 30 seconds.
Well, episode 43 starts off with Xiao Gui ziplining with the emperor to a rooftop across the plaza to escape capture. Zhang Xiaojing brings Tan Qi along with him. In a long, understanding look, Xiao Gui gazes at his men, the Pi Fu, who helped him all this way, knowing that they are sacrificing themselves for him. Indeed, shortly after, the Longwu army arrive and hack down the remaining Pi Fu. Taking a break from the excitement, with the emperor now kidnapped, we have to turn to damage control. The time is now 3 a.m. Wow, 3 a.m. and we have 5 episodes left. What are we going to do with those remaining 7 hours for the day? That just means we have to turn now to Yuan Zai. Somehow, Yuan Zai manages to find where Lin Jiulang has barricaded himself along with several other court ministers. Again, unlike many other ministers and court officials who stayed to protect the emperor, Lin Jiulang slipped away to save his life immediately when he saw Xiao Gui. That just goes to show the type of character he is. At the ravaged Flower Steeple Tower, General Guo has a eunuch wear the emperor's discarded golden robes to stand at the top of the tower. A decree is announced to the crowd in the plaza while the lantern tower blazes for the civilians to go home and rest. He, the emperor, is unharmed. The crowd erupts in cheers, thinking nothing is amiss.
As to what is happening with the emperor, he has been dragged away via the water canals to an unknown place with Xiao Gui and Zhang Xiaojing. Tan Qi, pretending to be Yan Yuhuan, speaks to the emperor. He is adamant that someone will rescue him. If not his ministers, he has 30 sons and 30 daughters. But once again, this is his arrogance showing. Tan Qi asks him if he treats his children well. His response, it is an honor for them to be his children. They should be grateful. Okay, I'm not entirely sure that is how it works. And I don't know if he or maybe Tan Qi believes that because of his response, his sons and daughters will automatically rescue him. Indeed, the crown prince is questioning a eunuch on whether or not there's news about the emperor's whereabouts from the eunuch. However, the eunuch is pushing him to take over the role as emperor as the current emperor is now kidnapped. The eunuch suggests that the security of the nation is now compromised because the emperor has been kidnapped, and we don't know what kind of demands he may have agreed to. The crown prince doesn't jump on the opportunity to take the throne, but decides to mull it over. This actually upsets the eunuch, thinking that the crown prince is too wishy-washy. Meanwhile, the right chancellor is much more eager to take over, and even his subordinates say that even if the emperor returns, the right chancellor will start taking power. Lin Jiulang orders the right cavalry to search the city for the kidnapped emperor, but his subordinates make sure to hint to the right cavalry that they just need to do a cursory search. No need to be too serious about actually searching for the emperor. because either way, the Ray Chancellor will take power to run court affairs for the Emperor.
The problem, though, is that there has never been a day, at least in history, where there has not been an emperor. The entire group has only until the new day, when the Western market reopens, to find the emperor. Otherwise, who knows what kind of chaos would rain down upon the Tang Dynasty. It becomes a matter of national security in the morning, and most likely the crown prince will need to ascend the throne in order to keep order. If you'll recall, there are plenty of spies trying to understand what is happening in Chang'an, and if the gates open for Chang'an and news spreads that the emperor has been kidnapped, chaos will ensue. However, for the Right Chancellor, the crown prince ascending the throne is not a good outcome, so he would like to support the Prince of Yong to ascend the throne. It's a sad state of affairs that it seems like out of everyone, only the crown prince truly wants to save his father. The Right Chancellor only cares about his own benefits at this point, and so does the Prince of Yong. The Right Chancellor is ordering his subordinates to craft a poor picture of the crown prince for tomorrow to depose him of his title. The Prince of Yong is the perfect puppet for the Right Chancellor to control. And that is why he, the Right Chancellor, is pushing for the Prince of Yong to seize the throne in the upcoming hours.
But also, we know that the Right Chancellor thinks the Prince of Yong is an idiot. And so this would be much better to control the Prince of Yong for the Right Chancellor rather than try to fight it out with the Crown Prince.
Fortunately, General Guo, back at the Flower Steeple Tower, trusts the Crown Prince. Not only that, he also trusts Zhang Xiaojing. He is the only one to step in to say that if Zhang Xiaojing really wanted to harm the Emperor, he would not have taken a fake Yan Taijin. He also scoffed at the Prince of Yong, who thought that he survived Zhang Xiaojing's attack because Zhang Xiaojing was too tired. General Guo knows Zhang Xiaojing let the Prince of Yong live on purpose. And I'm over here watching this, wanting to punch the Prince of Yong, being like, yeah, you could have died at the hands of Zhang Xiaojing at any point. Don't just stand there with your bandaged shoulder and say, yep, oh my god, I survived an attempted murder. No, you did not.
The issue with the Crown Prince, and this is stated, is that he does a lot of things that show his filial piety to the emperor, but the emperor doesn't see it and doesn't know about it. So General Guo steps in to offer his troops and the Longwu army under General Chen Xuanli's command to search for the emperor under the crown prince's name. Right now, it's about saving the emperor, yes, but also making sure that the crown prince is seen positively in the act. So for me, this almost is another instance where the politicians shine, because you see that even though we have this big problem of the emperor being kidnapped, everyone is figuring out their ulterior motives and putting into action plans that will make their side look like they're in the positive limelight when the situation hopefully resolves itself in the right direction. So what exactly happened with the emperor? Soldiers came upon the old dilapidated temple where Xiao Gui and the emperor are hiding out. Xiao Gui procures weapons and bombs that were hidden there by Yu Chang beforehand. Obviously, this was kind of their plan B escape route. And alongside Zhang Xiaojing, easily defeat the searching soldiers who were able to gather that something was probably amiss. However, in the chaos, the emperor managed to escape from a tunnel from the temple to who knows where. Zhang Xiaojing suggests to Xiao Gui, while looking at a map that Xiao Gui procured, that the emperor most likely is escaping to Ping Kang Fang, just given where the canal paths go, the routes go, and also the physical energy of the emperor. The two Zhang Xiaojing and Xiao Gui agree to meet up at Da Ji Jiusi or Da Ji Tavern afterwards when they split up to search for the emperor. Tan Qi is also in tow. She also decides to help Zhang Xiaojing. As for the emperor himself, he escaped and ended up in civilian homes. But rather than being venerated and able to seek help, he is at first attacked for being a pig stealer and then completely dismissed by a quote-unquote sixth rank official when trying to ask him for help. The man derisively shares that with money, anything can be bought in Chang'an, and that is how he bought his rank. Instead of helping the emperor, this quote-unquote sixth-ranked official beats him up. That is certainly a wake-up call for the emperor and is a theme for the next couple of episodes. The emperor didn't even need to leave Chang'an to start seeing how rotten the city has become.
Beyond this, Cheng Sun, back at Jing'anzi, had been diligently researching clues about who could have been the instigator for tonight's events. He finds very detailed documents in Xu Bin's materials that notate a new way to collect taxes. Cheng Sun is very impressed and shares that these plans could mean more money for the Tang while also benefiting civilians of the empire. Ji Wen, though, completely ignores this. Instead, he wants Cheng Sun to continue to find the culprit for tonight's events. Because, though, Cheng Sun has not been fruitful, Ji Wen's like, you know what? Cheng Sun, you will continue to be that scapegoat for everything that has happened. This completely disheartens Cheng Sun, who states that he would not want to be in the same court serving with the likes of Ji Wen. And that makes complete sense. There are plans from Xu Bin that could bring about economic prosperity, but because it comes from someone like Xu Bin with no connections and is poor, the plans are disregarded. These new tax codes also mean increasing the taxes amongst the aristocracy and the landed gentry. And of course, they will not be happy about that. Ji Wen, though, instead receives orders to seek and kill Director He, Li Bi, and Tan Qi. He goes off to instruct his soldiers to head out and search for them, while also claiming that the Crown Prince is under suspicion of treason tonight. And that is the plot episode recap for today. One key theme that was prevalent throughout today's episode that I do want to highlight is that multiple people asked in various forums, who is the person behind the scenes tonight? No one believes that a few old soldiers are able to enact such a grand plan tonight and even succeed in kidnapping the emperor. No one. Everyone believes that someone with a lot of power must be the one to instigate the events of tonight, and the primary suspect continues to be the Crown Prince. He is the one who would benefit the most from tonight's events, and therefore is most likely the one that many people believe orchestrated the whole thing. Even Zhang Xiaojing does not believe that Xiao Gui came to Chang'an without any help. So, what do we think? Do we think that there is another mastermind at play?
This was a harrowing episode for the emperor. He finally got to face some of the realities of his empire, but will he learn anything from this? And the next couple of episodes will make it even more clear. Let's now turn to some history. First and foremost, let's discuss the eunuch Li Fuguo. He is the eunuch essentially pressuring the crown prince to seize the throne because the emperor has been kidnapped. The conversation between Li Fuguo and the crown prince in the drama is actually quite a bit of heavy foreshadowing for what's to come. In the drama, this eunuch's name is, I believe, actually Li Jinzhong rather than Li Fuguo. There is little known about the eunuch Li Fuguo's early years. We don't even know his real name. He was born in 704, and we just know that he was castrated as a young boy and became a trusted advisor for the crown prince. In 755, when the Anlu Shan Rebellion broke out, Li Fuguo was amongst those who persuaded the then crown prince to stay behind in Chang'an while the emperor Tang Xuanzong escaped to fight off the invaders. The eunuch was also amongst those who successfully persuaded the crown prince to then claim the throne at Lingwu in 756. The crown prince becomes Emperor Tang Suzong. The circumstances in future years heavily echoes the pressure that the eunuch places on the crown prince in this episode. The now emperor, so we're talking about Tang Suzong now, still leans heavily on Li Fuguo, which actually fits the name of Fuguo since it literally translates to advising a country. That name is very high praise. This eunuch also received the title of Duke of Cheng and controlled much of the military. By 757, Tang Suzong, so the current crown prince later on who ascended the throne, returned to Chang'an, as did Tang Xuanzong, so the current emperor of the drama. Both of these men returned to Chang'an. Li Fuguo, at that point, abused his powers to strip away much of Emperor Tang Xuanzong's remaining powers and support. General Gao Lishi was exiled, and General Chen Xuanli was forced to retire. So both of the generals that we saw in this episode. During the reign of Emperor Tang Suzong, Li Fuguo wielded so much power that he stamped out opposition and strove to be the first eunuch chancellor. It was only until the reign of Emperor Tang Taizong in 762 did he fall from grace and was killed by Emperor Tang Taizong. We see a little bit of Li Fuguo's true colors in his short exchanges with the crown prince. The crown prince is still trying to save his father, while the eunuch only has eyes for power. At that point, you can kind of see that the eunuch is trying to do right by the crown prince because, yes, the crown prince should aim to get more power to protect his own position, while the crown prince has more of that humanity left in him. It just seems that out of everyone that we've seen who has a lot of political power, the crown prince is the one who you could consider is soft or potentially, you know, too focused on relationships. But that, I think, is why, in my opinion, he's actually a very unique and important person that spans this drama or this story. Well, the last topic that we want to discuss today is the prayer the old woman repeats when the emperor escapes and pops out of a pigsty. The lines or the prayers that she repeats are 子虚不在, 曹夫人已行, 小姑可出. At first I was like, oh, she's just saying some random words. But there's actually a legend tied to this. So, legend has it, 子姑 was a woman from the Tang Dynasty. Her original name was He Mei. During the reign of Emperor Wu Zetian, an official named Li Jing, who desired He Mei, killed He Mei's husband and forced her to become his concubine. Li Jing's main wife was a jealous and spiteful woman who couldn't bear to be in He Mei's presence due to her beauty. On one fateful Lantern Festival night, which is the same night that we are right now, the main wife killed He Mei as she went to the bathroom. Legend has it, He Mei's ghost remained hovering around that bathroom, and whenever Li Jing would go to the restroom, he would claim that he heard crying as if from a ghost. The Emperor Wu Zetian heard of this and took pity on He Mei's plight. The emperor declared her a deity. I don't quite know how we got Zigu, which translates to purple woman, but now this He Mei is known as Zigu Shen or Zigu deity. From then on, women would pray to her either in the form of a paper doll or a wooden doll. The women would say the prayer, as we heard in the drama, 子虚不在,曹夫人已行,小姑可出, or the husband is gone, the wife has also left, you can now come out. If the doll that is being prayed to moves, then that means the deity is giving a sign. 子姑神,
is the bathroom deity, but also for house pets too, which makes sense as to why the old woman was praying to the pig, or about a pig. I saw a couple of jokes online specifically regarding the scene, because the emperor's over there in the last episode comparing himself to the legendary emperors of old, and he pops out from a pigsty being batted about and apparently neglected by even the bathroom deity. I mean, he kind of deserves it, so I'm okay with this.
And that closes out our discussion of episode 43 of The Longest Day in Chang'an. Friendly reminder that if you are looking for sites to watch Chinese dramas and you are in the US, head on over to our sponsor, Jubao TV. That is J-U-B-A-O TV. It is a free service that has a selection of Chinese dramas and movies to watch with English subtitles. You can stream it through their website, Jumo, the platform Plex, or else access it on TV if you have Xfinity or Cox Contour. Again, all of this is free. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you all in the next podcast episode.